38 past the hour. It's Faith Radio. I'm Bill Meyer with author, speaker, and Christian worldview expert David Wheaton. Good morning, David, and Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you too, Bill.
So a whole bunch of Americans made New Year's resolutions this week, and research shows the majority of us won't be able to keep those until, well, beyond the 1st of February. So why is keeping resolutions so hard, David?
Because change is hard. And, you know, we all have aspects of life we like to improve. But the discipline, the big D word to change, is often lacking. Now, we all have varying degrees of will. Some people have very strong wills, and what they set their mind to, they can do, you know, to almost a perfect extent. Not perfect, but close. Other people are more, a little more weak-willed. And also, we have life circumstances that get in the way that are beyond our control to live out our resolutions. So, for instance, a common thing that people resolve to do at the beginning of the year is what? Go to the gym, right? Go to the gym 3 times a week. Well, that might be easy for someone to resolve to do who has a stronger will and who has time in his schedule. But it could be nearly impossible to do for someone who has 5 or 6 kids and works 2 jobs. And so I think it comes down to the varying degrees of wills that each of us have and how realistic setting those resolutions actually is going to be.
Now, from a spiritual perspective, does God even want us to make resolutions?
No, I think that completely depends on the resolution. So, for instance, does God want us to resolve to double our income? Are we resolved to double our income this year so we can buy a bigger house? Well, I don't think so. Does God want us to lose weight simply so we can have a better self-image and get more dates? Well, I don't think so. But does God want us to resolve to grow stronger in our faith and closer to Him? Absolutely, yes. So the root word, Bill, of resolution is what? It's resolve, which implies an act of our will. You know, there's the mind, the will, and the emotions. This is an act of the will. And God certainly wants us to engage our wills in the pursuit of sanctification or growth and holiness for His glory. So a couple of great examples in Scripture of this is someone like Daniel. As Daniel was taken from Jerusalem over to Babylon, he was, you know, exported out of his country, lived in a new place. It says in Daniel that he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't eat the king's food and certain things that he wasn't going to do when he got there that he knew would compromise his belief system. That purposing was like it could say he resolved. Or you see the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3. He has all sorts of resolutions all over the New Testament. He says, I press on so that I may hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, here's the resolution, I resolve to forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on. This is an act of the will, Bill. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I think it really depends on what the resolution is. Is that resolution to God's glory? And if it is, that's a good thing to resolve to do.
You know, when we read in Scripture, we see the word heart. I think it's important for us to remember that the Hebrew word heart actually refers to the will. So it's not simply our emotions. It's not simply a warm, fuzzy, emotional feeling when we're talking about the heart. It's also, as you said, that decision to, move in a certain direction, and our will is so much tied up with our entire Christian walk.
That's an excellent point, because I think too much in evangelicalism today is focused on tweaking our emotions when it really should be more about engaging our wills. There's nothing wrong with being touched emotionally at a worship service or touched emotionally through reaching the Scripture and feeling those emotions inside of us rise. That's a good thing. But really, our faith needs to be driven by our mind and our wills, and then the emotions are to follow, not to be the driving force. I think it's a very important point for us all to remember.
Now, there is a fascinating story about the great revivalist preacher Jonathan Edwards and a list of resolutions he made when he was just a teenager, and I'd love to have you share that with our Faith Radio listeners.
Well, most people, I think, listening today will have heard of Jonathan Edwards. He lived in the first half of the 1700s. Actually, he died when he was only 57 years old. He was a Puritan. He was a key figure in the Great Awakening in our country in that particular era. He was one of the most important pastors in American history. He was the one who gave the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He was the one who wrote the book, the popular book, Freedom of the Will, and many others. He was the president of Princeton. He was the grandfather of Aaron Burr, the third vice president of the United States. Now, all those things that Jonathan Edwards is famous for, they came after what he had just done, what you referred to, when he was just 18 or 19 years old. Over the course of a year, just as a teenager, when he was a very young pastor, actually, no one even knew who he was at this point, he made 70 resolutions over the course of about a year. And listeners can just look online, just do a Google search for Jonathan Edwards 70 resolutions, and you'll see they're all over the internet. You can read them in full. But as he made these resolutions over the course of his time when he was 18 or 19 years old, he started it by saying, just with a short preface before he got into his resolutions, by saying, being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to make these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will for Christ's sake. I think that before I read a couple, give examples of them, that's such a key part of the whole thing, because our resolutions must be made for Christ's glory, as Jonathan Edwards said here, and pursued in God's strength, not for just personal discovery reasons or personal improvement for the sake of improvement, but for Christ's sake, as Jonathan Edwards writes here. So just to read a couple of resolutions, now keep in mind, this is an 18 or 19-year-old saying these things. Number four, the fourth resolution, I just picked a few just for an example's sake. Number four was never resolved. They all start out with resolved. Never to do any manner of thing, whether in soul or body, less or more, but that tends to the glory of God. Mm. Number five, resolved. Never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. Or number nine, resolved. To think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which must attend death. Number 13, resolved to be endeavoring to find out fit objects of charity and liberality. In other words, to be charitable to people. Number 14, resolved never to do anything out of revenge. Well, I think you're getting the idea, and listeners can read these. It'd be a very worthwhile endeavor to do just to read these resolutions to see what kinds of things this man who became a great man resolved to be able to do when he was just a teenager.
That is so fascinating. You think about many of our 18 or 19-year-olds today.
Freshmen in college, you think you're making those kinds of resolutions?
Hopefully there are a few.
Hope so. Yeah, there probably are a few.
And you get them off Snapchat, maybe they'll make those resolutions. Wow, that is so powerful. I would encourage our listeners to Google that, Jonathan Edwards resolutions. What a great inspiration for all of us as we kick off a brand new year. Our guest is David Wheaton. You can learn more about David's writing and speaking and his radio program by going to davidwheaton.com, davidwheaton.com. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. It's 48 past the hour. The Faith Radio Network. It's Bill Meyer here with you. You can connect with us on the Dr. Bill Meyer Live Facebook page. We'd love to have you check in today and answer our question of the week. If you could choose one word that describes the type of person you'd like to become in 2017, what would that word be? Our guest, David Wheaton, as we talk about New Year's resolutions, and David just shared the fascinating story of revivalist preacher Jonathan Edwards and the list of resolutions he made when he was just a teenager, which is for me, an incredible inspiration. David, what kind of resolutions do you believe God would have us make as we kick off 2017?
Well, I think reading Jonathan Edwards' resolutions will give us a good start. I was reading another one during the break there, number 28, resolved to study the scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. I think that's a great admonition for all of us. You know, scripture is full of imperatives or commands that are God's will for us. and they all have one intent. One intent for studying and following the commands of Scripture so that we would glorify and worship and serve God through becoming more like his Son. There's the key passage in Romans 8:29 that says, "For those whom God foreknew," these are believers, "he also predestined them to become conformed to the image of his Son." In other words, that is the goal of the Christian life. So that should be at the heart, the foundation of any resolutions we make. And so as we read Scripture, we can ask the simple question, what does God in his word tell us to do? Just notice as you read Scripture, what are the imperatives? What are the commands? And when we read these commands, as Jonathan Edwards did, we should resolve to do those things. So you may want to categorize your resolutions. This is something that I've tried to do. Categorize them maybe in some major headings, and there can be more or less than I'm going to mention here, but a spiritual category, maybe a relational, charitable, physical, other ones, maybe work, spiritual, you know, reading the word on a very regular basis is, I think, the starting point of, you know, God communicates us to us through his word. That's a key thing to do. So maybe if a listener's never read through the Bible in a year, I think that would be a great thing to do to get an overview of Scripture. Scripture gives us the command to meditate on it day and night. And this isn't some Eastern, you know, Eastern meditation. This is just memorizing and ruminating on it in our minds, memorizing a passage of Scripture, maybe one passage a month or something, or one passage every 4 months, a more disciplined prayer life, maybe taking in a sermon from a pastor on the radio in addition to what we hear every Sunday. In other words, taking in some spiritual food during the week rather than just on Sunday morning. From a relational standpoint, that category, Bill, maybe we want a purpose to do something, resolve to do something within our marriage. And looking at the passage in Ephesians 5 about how we're to love and respect our spouses, or in parenting, to raise our kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Maybe to purpose to resolve to have daily devotions with our children at the breakfast table or after dinner at night. So I just think there's so many different things in Scripture, it would be hard to encapsulate them all, but God's going to speak differently to each of us, but there are very clear imperatives in his word that we can look at and say, those are things that I want to strive to resolve to do in this coming year.
It's interesting you use the word imperatives. I think sometimes we, when we read Scripture, we think that's a nice suggestion, but really it's a command. It's something that God is telling us to do. Even I was thinking about some of those relational, I call them relational commandments. Bear one another's burdens, confess right. your faults to one another, love one another, encourage one another. You can't just say those are nice ideas. Those are things that we are called to do in our daily walk. And I, frankly, from the relational side, I think if we were doing that on a regular basis, we'd have a lot less problems in the body of Christ with things like depression and anxiety if we were truly bearing one another's burdens yeah. and encouraging one another and on and on and on.
Right. The Ten Commandments aren't 10 suggestions, and they're not 10 things we're to feel good about and perhaps do when we feel like it. You know, the first thing Jesus said when he came into his public ministry was repent and believe in the gospel. That's not a suggestion. That's Jesus Christ commanding us to repent and believe in the gospel. And so there's so many imperatives, as you just mentioned in Scripture, that we need to take very, very seriously and strive in the power of the Spirit to be able to fulfill in our lives. And there's also one other category I didn't mention of resolutions that people commonly make, and that's in the physical category. You know, whether it's to exercise regularly, to eat more moderately, and to get more rest. These are some of the things that I've resolved to do. You know, the body is the temple of God, and we should care for it. And so I think that's an important category, but the spiritual category is even more important. You know, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Okay, there's the spiritual emphasis. He says, for bodily discipline or exercise is only of little profit. So it does have some profit for those out there thinking it has none, but godliness is profitable for all things since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So I think that the physical side of making resolutions for our physical bodies, those are important things too.
David, we've just got about 2 minutes left. What happens if we can't keep resolutions? How do we keep from getting bogged down with guilt and shame when we blow it?
Well, I think a few things to keep in mind. Number one is be realistic in setting resolutions in the first place. You know, if I resolve to run 5 miles a day for five times a week, I have no chance or even interest in doing that. But if I resolve something more realistic, like going for a 45-minute to one-hour brisk walk with the dogs five times a week, that I think I am able to do. Number two, write them down and put them into your calendar. You know, habits don't form on their own. And so as you put things into your calendar, you're going to say, well, can I really actually do this? That's helps you set more realistic resolutions. And I think this third thing is key, Bill, to pursue resolutions in the light of Philippians 2, 12, and 13, where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then here's the tension. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So you read this passage and you think, wait, now you work out your own salvation, but God is at work in you. You know, how does that work? Well, I think it basically we need to understand it like this, that we're to rely on God's strength, knowing that he's the one ultimately we need the grace and strength from to keep our resolutions. We need to ask for it and pray for this strength. But at the same time, we're called to work ourselves too. And so to your question about falling short, realize that there is benefit in the striving of keeping resolutions. And if you can't keep them, if you realize you're not keeping up, which is happens all the time, happened to me right away this year. I'll tell you, give you an example in a second. We need to dial back on the resolution that don't give up on it completely. Just dial back a little bit, something a little more attainable. So I had had it in mind to resolve to read a lot of the footnotes in Scripture this year from both the Old Testament and New Testament. As I got into it, I realized I'm never going to be able to have enough time each day to read all of the footnotes. So I'm just going to focus on doing it within the New Testament. And I think that's much more realistic.
Great advice from David Wheaton. You can learn more about David's writing and speaking at davidwheaton.com. Thank you, David, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Bill.